One of the amusing and sometimes irritating facts of life in the world today is phone calls that always seem to come right around dinner time. I was told one time that when you get one of those phone calls, you know, salesperson on the phone, and what you do is you say, "Tell you what, give me your name and home phone number and I'll call you back at dinner time when you're eating dinner, and then we can talk about whatever it is you're selling." And I don't know about you, but my immediate tendency when I get one of those phone calls is to be rude and condescending and find some really clever, terribly biting thing to say to the person who's calling. And then there's a little pause in my spirit because I realize that as distasteful as it may be to listen to this, this is somebody's job. And some of them are dishonest, and it's true that what they're doing is dishonest. Others of them, this is work, and it's a lot harder for them than it is for us, because all we have to do is hang up. They then have to dial the next phone number and start over again. It's got to be really tough duty. But I'd like to think a little bit about what those phone calls are like, because this is part five of what are your ministry gifts, and it's called Who Can Do Evangelism? This is what those phone calls, here's a typical phone call that I've received. And think about this as you think about sharing the gospel, about evangelism, about inviting people to church. It begins something like this. "Mr. Koch?" "George Koch, please." I've long since given up correcting them on how to pronounce my name. I just let them roll. This is he. "Mr. Koch, I have some really good news for you. You are guaranteed to be the winner of one of these prizes. Either a full expense paid trip for 10 days to Hawaii, airfare, hotel and car included, a 27-inch television, a complete place setting, or a Jeep Cherokee. Isn't that wonderful, Mr. Koch?" Say, "Yes, that's wonderful. Why don't you get out a piece of paper and a pencil right now, because I'm going to give you some information about those prizes. You can write it down." And then they repeat the prizes so that you'll write them down, what each one is. And you know, when you get these phone calls, that what their intention is to sell you something so that some of your money will go to them. And you'll get something in exchange for it, which you know isn't worth nearly the amount of money that's going to them. This isn't something that you shopped and compared prices and features or anything like that. It's just a promotion that they're trying to relieve you of some of your money. And there are three elements of this kind of sales technique which we need to pay attention to because they relate to how we share the gospel. The first one is it's overly familiar. These people are talking to you like you've known them forever. I remember there's one that I typically get. I think it's Police Athletic League. Maybe some of you guys have gotten this. They always seem to nail the guys when they make these phone calls. And it's, "George, buddy, how are ya?" You know, and I don't recognize the voice, so I know it's Police Athletic League, you know, or the fireman, something or other. I say, "I'm fine. Buddy, listen, I'll tell you what. Aren't you as worried about the kids as I am with all the drugs and stuff?" "Yeah. You know, I don't know, you know, I worry about this with my kids, but you know there's really somebody doing something about it? It's the Police Athletic League. Now, hey, buddy, how about $20? Help these guys out. They're doing good work, don't you think?" Yeah. It's overly familiar. I don't know these people. And I am very suspicious if somebody takes overly familiar conversation with me because I know they want something from me. They're not there because they're my friend and they genuinely care about me. They're being friendly because they want something from me. The second thing, beyond the over-familiarity, is that I know they're selling something. They're not bringing me good news about a prize which I've really won. You know it's the place setting, which cost them 79 cents or whatever. Maybe one person, you know, a distant cousin, gets the first prize so that they can meet federal guidelines, but very often they don't even care about those particularly. There isn't anything that's coming for free. And third, odds are the person who's selling something to you doesn't use what he sells. How many of those timeshare salespeople do you suppose have signed up for the program? How many of those who are asking for a donation to the Police Athletic League have donated that year to the Police Athletic League? I think the number's right close down to zero. So there are the three problems with this. Overly familiar, they're selling something, and they don't use what they sell. Now, think about this in relationship to evangelism. I don't know about you, but I personally, and I suspect many of us, have experienced exactly the same technique from a Christian. And in fact, probably many of the same other elements. Overly familiar. No relationship has been established. We don't know each other. But there is an over-familiarity that comes. And what does that do to the listener? Same thing it does with the guy on the phone. It makes you suspicious immediately. What does this guy want? I know it's not to my benefit. He's being way too familiar with me, and he's not my friend. Secondly, you know that they're selling something. You don't have a sense that there is a genuine free gift from God being offered. You really have the sense that you're being sold something. You're not quite sure what it is, as you often aren't in those sales calls, but you know something's being sold. And I would say that you often also have a sense that they don't use what it is they're selling. Otherwise, they wouldn't be trying to get you to take something without having first developed a relationship with you. Now, that aside, there is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's listed as a gift of the Holy Spirit of evangelism. And there are people who are evangelists, by which I mean that that gift is mightily present in them. And they are able to do many of those same things without any disingenuousness. You know that they are genuine when they are doing it. I can name some famous ones. Billy Graham. Have you ever heard Billy Graham preach? By the Holy Spirit, he speaks right to your heart. You can get up out of a chair and go forward at the altar call because you know that it's God speaking to you and he's using Billy Graham as an instrument. Luis Palau is that way. Our friend Ben is that way. He bubbles the gospel. I had a friend, Peter, that I went to seminary with, who was always, it was amazing hanging around with Peter, because he had the gift of evangelism so powerfully present in him that no one ever feared him when he shared the gospel. No one ever felt like they were being sold something. They just saw him bubble over. In fact, Apollos in the New Testament, written of in Acts, one of the early preachers of the gospel, what's said about him is that he was taught the good news and he shared it with burning enthusiasm. And the word in Greek, enthus, means God in. Or in God, God in, or in God. And you really have the sense of people like Peter and Ben and others that God is present in them and bubbling, you know, just burning and shining and glowing. And so you don't feel like somebody's trying to take advantage of you when they share the gospel. Some of you have told about Peter one time walked into an antique store and was just looking around. And this is classic Peter. My friend Peter, classic Peter, is looking around, and the lady who ran the antique store said, "Can I help you?" And Peter said, "No, I'm just looking around." And she said, "How are you?" or something like that. And he said, "I'm fine. What's God done in your life this week?" And Peter would ask that, and you wouldn't think, "Oh, man, now I'm going to, you know, I'm about to get the approach. Peter says, what's God doing in your life? It sort of jars you, but you know that it's a genuine question asked from a genuine heart. And she said, nothing. I'm an atheist. And Peter said, nah, you're not. And she said, yes, I am. And he said, nah, you might be mad at God, but you don't not believe in him. And she said, what is it that you don't understand? I mean, the conversation went something like this. I told you I'm an atheist. And he said, no, no, you're not. And he said, I'd really like you to come to church because I need a Sunday school teacher. And she said, what? And he said, I need a Sunday school teacher, and I think God wants you to be it. Well, this is just outside of her box. But guess where she is? And guess what she does? She's a believer. And she teaches Sunday school in Peter's church. Because the Lord led Peter to talk to her. And by the gift of evangelism, so powerfully present in Peter, he broke through every barrier that she had. Not by his own steam. Not by his own arguing ability. Not by his own sales ability. Just because that's the gift that the Holy Spirit has put into Peter. And there are people like that around. But it's a gift, and not everybody has that gift. Just as no other gift of the Holy Spirit is distributed so powerfully and in any individual. The difficulty is that when those of us who don't have that gift the way Peter did try to be evangelists, we come across as, Mr. Koch, I have wonderful news for you. It doesn't work. And the reason it doesn't work is because we are being overly familiar, because they get a sense that whatever it is we're giving away, it ain't free, and they're not quite sure that whatever it is we're selling, we really have. And so the trick here, evangelism is something we are all called to do by Jesus himself. It's not one of those optional things. Oh, well, I don't have that gift. Phew. Don't ever have to share the good news. It's not one of them. This is one of the things that Jesus asks every single one of us to do. But here's how you do it if that powerful gift isn't present. You do it by building relationship. You don't start with a sales pitch. In fact, there better not be a sales pitch in it anywhere. It starts with relationship. That's the problem with that over-familiarity of the phone salesman, is there's no relationship. That's why you don't trust him. There's no relationship. And so the way we who don't have that special gift in a powerful way share the good news, by the way, evangelist comes from the Greek evangelon, which means somebody who brings glad tidings, somebody who brings good news. And it actually comes from two roots below that, one of which means good and the other is angel. Evangelon, angelon, that part means angel. And an angel is a messenger. And so an evangelist is an angel or a messenger who brings good news, who brings glad tidings. That's the sense. And gospel means good news. All of this is about good news. And so the way that we share the gospel is we build relationship, which is genuine. Not, I'm going to build a relationship with this guy here, and he doesn't know it, but 3 or 4 days from now, this guy's going to be a believer. I'm going after him. Now, the Holy Spirit, yeah, but his wife says it's about time. The Holy Spirit, the hound of heaven, may well be on this man's heels. But my motive in building a relationship with him ought to be to build a relationship with him. To express God's character in my genuineness in building that relationship. Fundamental to the character of God is relationship. That's why we say one God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in intimate, loving relationship with each other. fundamental characteristic of God is relationship. That's why God comes after us. When we have broken relationship with Him, He wants to reestablish it. And so first off is to build relationship. And then in that relationship, that character of God which I am building between us, to begin to demonstrate my genuineness. That means not pretending everything is wonderful when it's not. But it also means sharing those good things that God has done in my life sort of unembarrassed. God really blessed me Sunday morning. I was so worn out. And I got to church. And we just sang together and heard the word and shared communion and church was over. Man, I felt like I'd been on a 2-week vacation. I just was renewed, re-energized. You can do that in a genuine way with somebody who's never been to church. And they won't feel like you're trying to sell them something. You just say, man, I really enjoyed it. The other thing that we can do is everybody, and especially those folks who don't have a relationship with God, more profound in them, has things go wrong in life. And guess what? In our culture, we don't have much of family anymore. And even if we have family, we often don't get any support from it. And we sure don't have much of village or tribe. And so for the kind of support that we really need, we get it in this tribe, this family of God, where we are joined together with one Father and one head, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit present and working among us. Who wouldn't want that if they knew what it was like and they knew what a blessing it was? Now, there are plenty of people who don't want to sign up for a particular doctrine, who don't want to sign up for an argument about why they should be doing something they're not doing, or believing something they're not believing, which is, don't mistake me, this is not to say that there isn't doctrine which is absolutely important and true and right on, and that we need to know and learn and understand. But I promise if you start there with somebody who hasn't yet met God, odds are you'll drive them away rather than invite them in. The place to start is building relationship. No strings attached. So that they know that you're not selling something that's not free. And lastly, use what you sell. Use what you sell. Now, sort of changing themes there because you shouldn't be selling. But the idea is, if you and I are really living the faith that we have been given, if we're really living the good news that's been shared with us, it shows. It shows in our character. It shows in the decisions that we make. It shows in how we share of what we have with other people who are in need. It shows by the amount of time we spend with our kids, the amount of time we spend with our neighbors, the amount of time we spend doing things other than staring at computer screens. It shows. You know, we all fail. I promise that. And we should be honest about the ways in which we fail. I stare at computer screens too much. And I really don't want to. And I'm praying and working. And my friends and my wife are helping hold me accountable not to do too much of that. But I'm not going to pretend that I don't. I'm not going to pretend that I've got it all together when I don't. I'm not going to pretend that I don't sin, that everything is okay, and sort of the Sunday face, and it's all great. People spot hypocrisy like that in an instant. And so in building relationship, and in doing it without strings, so it's free, there isn't a price. Finally, in all of that, you've got to live what it is that you ultimately would like to share for free. You got to live it out, and that's an authenticity which is required. It's letting the Holy Spirit work in those places where you know He needs to work, and I know He needs to work in me. And so evangelism for us who are not blessed in the way Peter is, or maybe blessed in the way Ben is, it's all about relationship. No strings and living authentically. And in the midst of that, I promise the Holy Spirit will provide opportunity for you to say, let me tell you what changed my life. And you can do it, I can do it in a way which is genuine and which will be heard. The Holy Spirit will be busy in their heart right then while you are saying, let me tell you what happened to me. Let me tell you about my family of God and the way they supported me and the way I get to support them, the way we love each other, the way we pray together, the way we sing together. Let me tell you about what God is doing among us. And if you'd like to come sometime, no pressure, and you won't experience pressure when you're there. But if you'd like to come sometime, hey, I'll drive. Any of us can do that. And all of us are called to do it by Jesus, who is the master of relationship, because it's his character. And so, the question, who can do evangelism? Every one of us can do it by simply living the way that Jesus calls us to live, and knowing that in living in relationship with those who are in need, and that's everybody, and being authentic about who we are and what we are, that the invitation will be able to be made in a way which is not like a telephone solicitor, but which is a call from the throne of God and which will be heard. Let us each allow him to work in us so that we can do that with all of those that he desires to bring into his kingdom. And Scripture tells us that that is every last one. Amen.